Young people know everything, don't they? And then on Sunday 26th, this last Sunday of this month, we'll be sending off Silva Wanyala and his family. They are going to plant a Calvary Chapel in Mukono. You probably know them. They've been here for a while. So you'll get to know them on that day and they'll tell us. All right, let's open up to John chapter 10. A continuation of a conversation that ended in chapter 8. And as Jesus was confronting them, his religious people, about their blindness, he draws them here to the fact that he is the entrance into heaven. He says to them, I am the door, the only door to heaven. A man had been healed. He was blind. Now he could see. And instead of these people, these leaders, helping this man, maybe read the Bible, or maybe just be happy the guy was healed, they kicked him out of church. He could not go to the synagogue or the temple simply because he had given the credit to Jesus. A man called Jesus healed me. These men hated Jesus Christ and they told the man, you don't have to come here anymore. Very sad. And so many people still get turned away from God by religion. I have a friend who was not allowed in a particular church around town simply because I think he was wearing trousers. He told us, sorry, you can't come in here. We don't allow women to wear trousers. Instead of welcoming the person and teaching them what they want, giving them what they want, spiritual food, they block people from Jesus Christ. And these Pharisees only cared about the external, only cared about how they were dressed, only cared about the titles the people gave them. The Bible says they love to be greeted in the marketplace. Pastor, whatever they call them. When they were fasting, everybody knew they were fasting. They would walk around sad, and if people asked them, so you look sad today, yes, I'm fasting. On the Sabbath, accusing Jesus of breaking the Sabbath law. The Sabbath law never said you cannot help somebody on the Sabbath. The Sabbath, they said rest, but for them, helping somebody on the Sabbath meant breaking the Sabbath law. They were so blind, they could not even see Jesus was before them, the Savior of the world. Something all of us would have loved to see. Wouldn't you have loved to be there when Jesus Christ himself was walking? They had him right there, but they could not see what he had brought for them. So in John chapter 10, the conversation continues. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up over some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will be by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. So Jesus then goes on to tell them, this is what this means. I am the only entrance. I am the door of the sheep. It's really a picture of a shepherd who has a kraal or a sheepfold. Many shepherds would gather efforts and build one huge sheepfold there in Israel and across the Middle East, maybe 10 or 20. And every evening, all of them would bring their sheep and they would lock them in. They would have a doorkeeper for security. All the sheep are allowed in by the doorkeeper. And in the morning, the shepherds come back, maybe 20 of them. And you could be wondering, how on earth are the shepherds got, how are they going to know their sheep? And what they would do is just speak to the sheep. And the sheep in the morning, when the shepherds come, 20 of them, would recognize the voice of their shepherd. And every flock would follow their shepherd. One this direction and all the various directions. And automatically they go wherever the shepherd took them. And they said, but there are those who don't want to go through the door. And they actually do not belong. They don't even have sheep there. They are thieves and robbers. They don't even go through the door. They climb in some other way. They jump the fence. They go through the louvers. That was a reference to false teachers and false prophets that had come and deceived many in Israel that they were the hope of the nation. They promised to save the nation of Israel, but they did not. False teachers do that. They were deceptive. Liars. At the most, thieves and robbers. They come to steal the sheep. However, the sheep do not follow strangers. They only wait for the call of the voice they are familiar with, the voice of their shepherd. The true picture is this. These Pharisees were deceptive and lying to people. A man had just been healed. Instead of welcoming him in the temple so that the man would grow spiritually, they block the man just because he gave credit to Jesus Christ. Instead of coming into heaven through Jesus Christ, they think they can go to heaven through some other way. There's only one way to heaven. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, Matthew chapter 5, verse 25, I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of God. There's only one way to heaven. It's through Jesus Christ. And these Pharisees are trying to enter in some other way. They're trying to enter in by fasting. And everybody sees, oh, they are fasting. They try to enter in by simply obeying the Sabbath law. Nobody goes to heaven by obeying the Sabbath law. Right? You don't go to heaven by resting on Saturday. Otherwise, that would be very easy. Everybody would have to rest on Saturday, then automatically they're in heaven. You don't go to heaven by praying out just aloud. You know, these Pharisees, the Bible says when they prayed, everybody hears. Reminds me of that neighbor of ours we had in some place. And they would get up to pray every 5 o'clock. And it was loud. The good thing was that she worked as an alarm. Right? So whenever you hear some voice, oh, it's 5:30, let's get up for school. Prayer is supposed to be personal, and you don't have to inconvenience the whole neighborhood because you're praying. They'll get up and beat you, or they'll dismiss you from the community. Unfortunately, a lot of people still do. Do you know those churches in trading centers? Every 5 o'clock, banange muzubuke, you know. Prayer is your relationship with God. Talk to him, he hears. And you don't have to shout at him either. His ears are sensitive. He hears everything. And sometimes I think people shout at him and he blocks his ears. That's too loud. What are you saying? They blocked people from heaven and they themselves weren't even going in. And Jesus tells them, I can argue with you all day here, but that doesn't matter. I want you to know that I am the only entrance into heaven. I am the door. And if you belong to me, come in. If you don't belong to me, you don't have to come in. If you don't want, it's okay. And if there are others who want to come in, please don't block them. Like that blind man. He wants heaven, but you're blocking him. You are thieves and robbers. A lot of false teachers actually do exactly this. Instead of giving people access to heaven through Jesus Christ, they steal from people, don't they? They steal people's money, they steal people's land, they steal people's everything. In the name of God will bless you if you give to me. You should ask them to give to you so God blesses them also. How about that? Tell them, Pastor, look here. Just give me one car. God is going to give you 10 more. Will they give it to you? Robbers and thieves. False teachers. Religious. In verse 10, we are told more about the nature of these thieves. The thief only comes to steal, kill, destroy. Who is that? Satan himself. He's really telling them, look here, you guys are working under the influence of Satan. He's the one making you deceive and block people from heaven. He's the one making you steal from people. I have come that you may have life. A lot more is said about Satan. We are told of three things he does. He is a thief, he's a murderer, he's a destroyer. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, he is a liar. No, he's a tempter. I was ahead of myself. He asked Jesus to turn the stones into bread. Now, Jesus could do that. But was he going to do it commanded by Satan? No. He's a tempter. He finds something very ugly. All right, think of the ugliest thing ever. All right, and wraps it with very nice, attractive color. And he presents it before you. Please eat. It's really nice. He tries to get us sin, temptation. In John chapter 8, verse 44, John chapter 8, verse 44, he is a liar and the father of all lies. So think of our enemy. He's a thief, he's a killer, he's a destroyer, he is a tempter. He is a liar. That is one bad man. That is one evil being. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, Peter warns us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is an enemy and an adversary, and he wants to devour, he wants to kill. Now think of Satan, evil, bad, sadist, destroyer. How come people are still following him? How come people are still going after him? He lies to them. He blinds them. And in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, we are told that he is an accuser, is the accuser of our brethren who accused them before God day and night. He's standing there every day telling God, you see your children, they're bad. See they're sinners. See they are just up for no good. And Jesus stands there as an advocate, says, they are justified. They are my children. They are forgiven. And they are mine. And this text gives us a glimpse of who our enemy is. And a lot of people try to play around with Satan. If you're playing around with him, think of a man who is after your life. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to steal from you. All he does is steal. He wants to get you into sin, into doing something wrong, temptation. He will lie to you. You have any liars in your life? He is your enemy. All he wants to do is tear you apart. He's carnivorous, wants to eat you up. He's always accusing you of wrong. Do you still want to be part of that being's life? No. All Satan wants is to block people from heaven. Now back to our analogy of the sheepfold that Jesus is talking about here, and him saying that he's the door. So for security, for the corral or the sheepfold, the doorkeeper, the security guard, would literally have to lie across the entrance, right? So if a thief comes and hasn't jumped in and wants to go through the door, he's basically waking the security guard up, right? The Kenyan, some place in Kenya, I saw in the news recently, they have cows and there are so many cow robbers and thefts. And what they do is they devise a means of fencing the corral where the cows sleep. And the entrance was designed in such a way that if you attempt to break the door or open it, you actually automatically wake the security guard up. Right? So imagine you're trying to open the door and, you know, thieves come in a very sneaky way. You're trying to open the door and all you're doing is uncovering the bed cover. The guy wakes up. So Jesus is lying across. He's the doorkeeper and the door. Right? What did Satan do? He came in. His theory, strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. You know that verse? And Jesus says, you will not get any of this sheep unless you kill me first. Now, the other thing about our enemy is that he does not know everything. He's wise, but does not know everything. And Satan and our sins crucified Jesus on the cross. But what happened? That was a way of salvation. The enemy thought, let me get rid of Jesus. Let me get rid of this Savior. And let all the people belong to me. And Jesus went to the cross. Our sins took him there. Satan nailed him to the cross. And all happened was a door into heaven. Jesus said, you cannot come in. You have to kill me first. And if you kill me, you're actually effecting the salvation of all the world. And that happened. The thief came, the destroyer came, the murderer came, the tempter came, the liar came, nailed Jesus on the cross. And instead of the sheep being scattered, the sheep were actually saved. We were saved. When Jesus was lifted up and crucified on the cross, all of us were able to enter heaven through him. So he says, I am the door. I am the entrance. And if you come in, you will be safe. You will be saved. And you will have life more abundantly. Thinking about doors, I was one time at, I think it was Jubilee Insurance Building. There is an office inside there that has a large glass. And it's really a wall, but there's a door, a glass door too. So there was this furious man. He was so angry. I think it's a bank. I don't know. Maybe it's an insurance office. So it's just, I was seeing him through the glass. All he was doing is throwing his hands and out of frustration. And then he decides to leave. All right? So you know when an angry, furious man is deciding to storm out of the place. He walks in not seeing the glass and he stopped right at the glass. He hit the glass so hard. Man, that is more embarrassing than quarreling with the receptionist, right? There was no exit, no entrance there. He hit the wall. I've seen some interesting door labels. There was one door label that said, pull to open. If it does not work, push. If it does not work, the door is suffering from some anxiety issues. We'll fix it. Last year when I went to the U.S. for the conference, we went to the beach. Played so hot and sand, and I wanted to go take a bath to fresh up. So my host told me, you go over there. They pointed the place, and they told me the door code is whatever. They mentioned a number. Now I was thinking, doors, numbers, what? I just want to get a shower. So I go to the place, and guess what? The door had 4 buttons. I could not open. And I had to find a way of opening by asking people around, what, how do I open this door? Or press these 4 buttons in this particular order. And these men weren't paying attention. Jesus is telling them, I am the entrance. But they're thinking, oh, what? What are you talking about? We just kicked out a man out of this church. We are so strong. We don't allow heretics. The true believers to them were hypocrites, and they themselves were the one, the hypocrites. Come in and you will be safe. I had a story of the insecurity in Johannesburg because of the robberies and burglaries. There's a community that decided that the best way they can be safe is to sleep with all their doors open, but bring in a coffin, put an affected body, sleep around the coffin. So when the burglars come, they're like, oh, that's a funeral, you know. We'll go to the next place. True story. There's actually a man who lived in, I think it was Pretoria, and decided to relocate after years. And they asked him why he had to relocate. He said, every night he slept with a gun under his pillow because the robbers and the robberies are just everywhere. Jesus tells them, come in and you will be safe. You think you're blocking people from heaven. You yourselves are not getting in. And what's happening is the enemy is after you. And this is the one reality that we have to tell people out there. People who do not know Jesus Christ. First of all, they will have to argue with you like these Pharisees. But tell them, look here. The Satan you're playing with, you're playing around with, wants your life. All he wants is to steal, kill, destroy, lie, tempt, devour you. It comes down to that. Come into the sheepfold of Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And I'll give you life and life more abundantly. So Jesus does three things for us. First of all, he saves. All right? He effected salvation on the cross. When the enemy thought nailing Jesus would mean the sheep scattering, but nailing Jesus meant our salvation. The wrath of God was satisfied. And that is mentioned in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God did for us what we could not do for ourselves. He opened a door whose code we did not understand. And he simply said, come in. If you haven't known that door that Jesus opened, it's still open. That door is still open to anybody who wants to come in. Come in by his grace, through faith. And he did it all. We did nothing to effect our salvation. Jesus not only saves us, he protects us. In Psalm 28, verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield, my protection. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. Do you know how much protection God gives you every day, even now? Now, in our normal minds, we try to be as safe as possible. You lock your windows, you lock your doors. You do everything to make sure you're safe. Do you know that the United States president is going to Kenya this month? Now, the security measures are such that the airport is going to be completely closed to all international flights. They're going to be diverted to Entebbe, I think, for almost 24 hours. They're going to monitor the African airspace, the entire African airspace, through NASA satellites on the moon, I think, or somewhere. So they'll be viewing Africa like this. In case you touch their president, you're gone. There's a bomb, a multiple bomb launcher docked in Mombasa. And then all the cars that they're flying in for his convoy are not only bomb-proof, They are bomb repellers. So if you had a bomb, maybe the size of this speaker, and you throw it at the car, you know what happens? It comes back right on you. And that is the security of just one man. All right? Now, this is the irony with this world security. There's a guy next to you with a gun. He is the one that can actually take your life, right? I honestly do not know how these people even sleep with guns all over them. I cannot sleep. I'd rather sleep with no gun around me. Because the guy can just get angry, like, that guy said something annoying. Boop. They have done that before, haven't they? To their own presidents. Anyway. But we make sure that we are safe. But tell you what, this place is never safe. You know that, right? It's only God who keeps us safe here, not only here, for all eternity. Are you like me sometimes? You sit in the sitting room and you forget that both doors are open. And then you sleep, you wake up and the front door and the back door are wide open. Who protected you? God did. Now sometimes, the day we make sure everything is locked is the day that some uninvited visitors come. But when we forget to lock the doors, nobody shows up. Can you even think of how many times you have survived, narrowly escaped death, just because God protected you? You didn't have a gun, you didn't have a bomb repeller, you didn't have a bulletproof car. I'd actually love one of those, you know, bomb repellers, right? I guess it can even repel stones. If it can repel a bomb, it can repel a stone. But regardless of what we do to make ourselves safe, the walls that we have, walls everywhere, electric fences everywhere, guns everywhere, God is the one who watches over us. I wish we could see into the unseen, the reality of God's protection over us. It's practically impossible to be safe in this world. Nothing can keep you safe. You survive the guns, the insects will bite. You survive the cars, maybe the motorcycles will take you. You survive robbers, I mean, maybe the terrorists will attack. You survive the terrorists, who knows, an earthquake may attack. The one true safety is in our shield, Jesus Christ. And spiritually, he said in John chapter 10, verse 28, I give them eternal life. He gives us eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. The moment we give our life to God, nobody can take us away from him. He holds us. And the enemy is trying to jump in through the fence. He's trying to tempt us and pull us away. This world is trying to blind us from seeing God, and God says, they are mine. I have them in my hands. We are going to heaven. And nobody can stop us from going to heaven. Nobody. Jesus already died, was already crucified for our safety, for salvation. He gives us eternal life. And we are completely safe. Every night we can sleep. If anything happens, we'll be home. We don't have to worry about everything else to keep us safe. And thirdly, he leads us to feed. Verse 4, when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, he leads, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And in verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Provision. Food. I think we can all testify that God provides for us everything we need. All the food we need. He leads us to everywhere we go. If you have a job, I'm sure it is God who gave you that job. It's not just your boss. God worked it out for you to have that job. He's the one who led you there to wherever that green pasture is. We've had numerous opportunities that we weren't even praying for. Have you ever received an opportunity that you weren't even thinking about? Maybe you're praying about, and God miraculously leads us and provides for us. I told the story of a man who comes to this church, and they're applying for this job, and he wasn't really qualified for the job. But the interviewer looked at him. All he had was Jesus and faith, right? Let me just put in my paper there. If God wants to give it to me, great. And this man applied. And the interviewer faced him and said, I don't even know why I'm choosing you. You don't even qualify for the job, but I'm going to give it to you. Who is that? It's Jesus. He goes before us and he feeds us. He provides for us. In Psalm 23, verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He feeds me so much that I am satisfied. He gives me all that I need. And I want us to rest in the fact and in the truth that God saves us, God protects us, and God satisfies us. He leads us and provides for us. That is not just life to me. That is life abundant. That is abundant life. That is as good as life can ever get. Imagine all those privileges on this earth, and then we have more. Everything we enjoy in this earth, God grants us and says, that is even nothing. That is just in that fallen world. Wait when you get to heaven. There is more to enjoy forever and ever. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I have come that you may have life, this life. And when we give this life to Jesus Christ, and we will have life even more abundantly. We have earth and heaven to enjoy. A lot of people just want to enjoy earth, and that's all they can enjoy. But when we give our lives to God, he says, you have heaven, it's coming up, but I also have a lot of things for you to enjoy down there. What an offer. Jesus is the only entrance to heaven. He says, I am the door. Now that is the third I am statement in this book. The first one was that he was the bread of life. Remember that? The second, he said he was the light of the world. This is the third. It says, I am the door or the gate or the entrance to heaven. If you're here and you have never entered God's rest, you've never entered heaven, maybe you've been blinded and pulled away by the enemy, Jesus says, come. Come to me. And you can ask him to come into your life right now. And God will open that door. You'll get in. You'll be saved. You'll be safe. And he will be the one leading you everywhere. He will be around you wherever you go. And he will lead you to wherever you go and wherever you end up in this life. And he will protect you until he gets you to heaven. And I'm sure a lot of people are blocked from coming to Jesus because they do not know what he offers. But once they understand that the offer that he gives is free and it's for all eternity, I'm sure they would. When you walk out of those doors, when you go home, you go back to work today or tomorrow, be reminded to tell people about the entrance to heaven. The religious ones, of course, will want to argue with you all day. But tell them that whoever they're partnering with is only trying to kill them. This world, the enemy, their own flesh is actually trying to block them from heaven. And encourage them to make that decision to come in, to come in God's sheepfold, where they'll be saved, safe, and where they'll enjoy God's provision. There's no safe place on this planet. There's no other way to heaven. There's no other way to salvation apart from Jesus Christ. And may God use us to help people see Jesus and see heaven and get in. Amen? Let's stand and pray. Lord, thank you so much for allowing us to come in. Lord, having laid down our sins and sat and crucified you. Lord, thank you so much for paying that price for us. And thank you so much for the fact that that door is still open. You're still waiting for many to come in. And Lord, you've given us the privilege to show others that way, that entrance. Lord, we have your Spirit with us. We have nourishment, spiritual nourishment that others badly need. Lord, use us as vessels through which people see you and see heaven. Lord, we want to pray for those who are still blinded, who are lost, who are dead, whose lives Satan is after. Lord, we pray that you may draw them to yourself. Pray that you may remove that veil that blocks them from seeing you, that they may be able to see you. I pray that you may use each one of us to help them see the truth, that you are the only entrance to heaven, and the entrance is free. The entrance is for all eternity. Lord, thank you so much for the safety that we have in you. Lord, we don't need guns and electric fences to be safe. All we need is you. You are our shield. You protect us, O God. And thank you so much for that. Thank you for your provision and for all the opportunities you lead us to. Lord, I pray for us to always wait for your provision because you always provide. You always lead us to those still waters and to those green pastures. Lord, you are our shepherd. And we want to follow you, so we pray that you lead us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.